Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy Tuesday to all of you. We have what a program we've lined up for you today. Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks joining us to talk all things Michael Proctor, the disgraced ex-trooper. He is back in court today. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about his attempt to be reinstated with the Mass State Police. I don't know whether or not that's going to happen, but it does have to do with our poll question. So you can
zero chance she skated.
Yeah, gracecurleyshow.com. I say there's no shot, but I never like to say never, especially here in Massachusetts, where corruption and double standards and hypocrisy and all of this stuff kind of runs amok. I don't want to say there's zero chance, but I just can't imagine the guy who talked about balloon knots in text messages is going to get his job back. I just don't want to live in a world where that is happening. We've got Libby Emmons from the Post-Millennial joining us to talk about the DOJ taking the Russia collusion evidence to a grand jury, what that means. Joe Scarborough doesn't think it means anything. He thinks this is stupid. He also thought Joe Biden was at his best in March of 2024, and he thought the Hunter Biden laptop was the stupidest October surprise he'd ever seen. So he's got a really great track record as to what stories you should care about and what stories are total nothing burgers. So if he's saying that he doesn't think this is a big deal or he thinks this is stupid, it's incredibly stupid. It's extraordinarily stupid. Don't go near a blender. That's what Joe Scarborough is going to tell you about this. If he feels that way, we've got a bombshell.
Tomorrow's question, poll question, who do you trust more, Joe Scarborough or Jim Cramer?
Yeah, it's. I know their predictions are always very, very off. And it's funny, Taylor, because anytime they're telling me, like, you'd have to be stupid to care about this, I'm like, oh, I care about this. I care about this, and you just made me care about it so much more than I ever thought I could. So we'll talk about that. We've also got Toby Leary. It's Two-Way Tuesday, so Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks will join the show. But there's no time to waste. That's all to say. No time to waste. I have you all to myself for the first hour. I'm being very selfish in the first hour, saving all the guests for the second. And I wanted to start with the cover of the New York Post. I've been sent this quite a few times already this morning. I did post yesterday right when I saw the videos of Elizabeth Warren endorsing the New York City mayoral frontrunner, Zohran Mamdani. I posted all the videos on the website, gracecurleyshow.com. That's where you can check them out. And then because I had posted that, when the New York Post cover came out, a lot of people were tagging me, and it really is a good one. I'm glad that I have people out there keeping an eye on me and making sure I see this stuff. The cover of the New York Post says African American meets Native American, and it's a picture of Zohran Mamdani and Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, the mamas and the babies. So one of them pretended to be black for his college application to Columbia. One of them pretended to be Native American on her 1986 registration card for the State Bar of Texas.
I get a little excited about this.
She also listed her ethnicity as Native American while working at the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard Law School. And I think in that cookbook where she put her crab cakes recipe in. So these are two grifting, lying elites who pretend to hate billionaires. That there's such a business in that, Taylor, now, with the younger people. The young, stupid people out there. All you have to do to win them over is be like, I hate billionaires. They don't care. A lot of these young people, especially in New York City, it doesn't bother them that Elizabeth Warren and Zohran Mamdani are far closer to the lifestyles of a billionaire than they are to the voters they're pandering to.
Right. Where did he just had his wedding in Uganda, a very posh affair from what I gathered, right?
Yes, a very posh affair. It was like multiple days, tons of security, armed guards. This is a guy who wants to defund the police because he thinks they're racist and anti-queer and all these other things. And yeah, it was a very ritzy, that was the word I kept seeing, ritzy event. I'm sure it cost tons of money. It was at his parents' mansion in Uganda. His mom is like a filmmaker. His dad's a professor. So this is a guy who grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, which is fine. But then to make your bones disparaging billionaires and to try to convince young people like capitalism is bad. He hates capitalism. He wants to seize the means of production. He can't condemn globalize the intifada, which has become a rallying cry for all for his base, really, for the people that have, you know, really elevated his status in politics. He can't condemn that because that's their favorite cheer anthem. That's their protest rally cry. And so he can't do that. He wants to abolish private property. And I mean, on a good day, you could call him a socialist. On a bad day, like when you're going through some of these cuts, he's more of a full-fledged communist. And so this endorsement, though, is noteworthy from Elizabeth Warren for a few reasons, but mostly because a lot of Dems in positions of power, including Hakeem Jeffries, Chuck Schumer, they have been less enthused and a little bit more reticent to embrace Mamdani and to endorse him. They're not sure it's the right move. He's a far-left socialist. He, like I said, can't condemn globalize the intifada, wants to abolish private property. A lot of things that might scare somebody who, I don't know, believes in the United States of America. A lot of things that might scare you if you've ever read anything in history about communism or socialism. Some of these terms might freak you out a little bit. They might be a cause for concern for people. And so there has been, and we've been covering it, Taylor, this weird kind of infighting, push and pull. Are they going to endorse him? Are they not? And I think that one of the autopsies, they did so many autopsies after November, after getting walloped in the November presidential election. One of the takeaways for the left that they did not take away, they threw away, was that you need to come back a little bit. You need to rein it in. You can't go more crazy. In fact, you need to veer more towards less crazy. You need to try with all your might to stop being insane if you ever want to win an election again. That is not what Zohran Mamdani is about. But it's also a tough decision for them because he's 33 years old. He's young. He's good looking. He can talk to people. So he has a little bit of charm and he has the best shot at winning this. So when you take away all of his stupid policies and his dangerous ideas, he's good at politicking, which the bar is so low for the rest of this loser cruiser that that's what they look at now. And they go, well, he's good at it. So I don't want to not be on his team because we actually might have a winner here. And they're so desperate for winners. They're so soaked in loserdom that they look
at... I do on occasion say, ciao, Bella.
They look at Mamdani and they're like, well, I know he's not perfect. And I know we'll have to defend hating capitalism and city-run grocery stores and abolishing private property and all of these things that are so antithetical to this country and our ideals. But, you know, he's not bad looking and... he seems to have support from young people, and they're the left right now. This Democrat Party is floundering so hard that for them is that's enough. It really makes it a tough decision. So for Elizabeth Warren, and the other part of it too, is that they're going to have to defend his ideas now going into the midterms. If you endorse him, you're going to have to defend all of this crap. And some people have made the choice, like, I don't want to do that. I think that's where Hakeem Jeffries, Chuck Schumer, some of those guys are more saying to themselves, I don't want to have to defend socialism going into a midterm. Elizabeth Warren doesn't care. So she goes on CNBC and she has to defend his Marxist ideas. But before we even get to that, let's start with her original announcement. She is endorsing Zohran Mamdani. She's very excited about this. Can I have cut 8, please, Taylor?
When someone stands up and says, I will lead this city by making it more affordable. And here are my plans, real plans, plans to deliver on childcare, plans to deliver on housing, plans to deliver. We're going to experiment. We're going to try things on groceries. That is the Democratic message.
I don't get the sense that she really prepared. I think she's been doing this a very long time. And she is, you know, compared to some of the people in the Democrat Party, she's more seasoned at this. So I'm sure she said to herself, oh, I've endorsed a million people. I'm just going to go out and kind of wing it. I got that sense. This was a wing it situation. Try things on groceries. We're going to try things on groceries. No, thank you. No, thank you. This isn't like a college course that you've taught, or this 33-year-old has just taken, where it's like a lab experiment. Oh, we're going to try things and see how it goes. Why don't you be more specific? Why don't you tell us? Because to be honest with you, if you get to the specificity of Zohran Mamdani's plan to try things on groceries, that's the euphemism now for city-run grocery stores, try things on groceries. The entire idea that has become a bedrock for this guy's mayoral campaign was based on the fact that he misread the city's webpage. That was what Tim Carney and the Washington Examiner figured out. But yeah, let's try things because this guy can't read a website.
Let's bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Let's try things that we've already tried in places. We've already tried this in cities. It hasn't worked. But let's try it again because it might be fun. And it gets the people going. It's provocative. It makes the young socialists in New York City feel good. So let's forget the fact that it doesn't make any sense. But she also showed off her spectacular stupidity when she was on CNBC. And luckily, this guy, David Faber, was able to kind of push back on everything she was saying. She was so condescending, by the way. I would like to start with cut one, please.
Shouldn't the focus of a mayor be on delivering services to the constituents of the city and doing that by raising the most revenue as possible without chasing businesses and the high income taxpayers out of the city? Because they can go to Austin, they can go to Dallas, they can go to Atlanta, they can go to Nashville. This is your issue. It's a national issue, not a local issue.
The issue is affordability. Do you know how many working families are chased out of New York City every day? Because they can't afford housing, they can't afford groceries, they can't afford child care. What Zohran is saying is, I want people to be able to afford to live in New York City. That's what keeps it a vibrant city.
Yeah, and you can already tell she's getting into that folksy school marm. I'm waiting for the mamas and the babies to come out. Because that's her real tell that she's going full phony. When she starts
don't you worry.
When she starts getting into this kind of tone of voice, Taylor, where she's letting people know that she is the school marm that's going to bring justice to the billionaires.
Also, pay very close attention. It's important that when you're endorsing a political candidate, you know how to pronounce their name. She does not.
Did you catch that? Yeah. I'm not surprised. Let me hear.
That's what makes people want to live.
Nobody
here.
Disagrees with that, Senator, but raising taxes in order to do it?
Oh,
why is that
goodness.
The answer?
Oh, dear. Are you worried that billionaires are going to go hungry?
No, I'm worried that they're going to leave and spend their money elsewhere.
You know, they've threatened to do that over and over and over.
And they have. They've left.
Here's the thing.
And Goldman Sachs, when they create new jobs, they do it in Dallas. And Blackstone won't build a new headquarters.
You want to have a workable city? You want to have a city that's vibrant. You want to have a city with strength.
There's something. It's like, I understand that she's pandering to these low info voters who must be even dumber than I originally thought. But when you're presented with real facts and your only strategy is to go back to this boogeyman and to condescend to this guy and say, you're worried? Oh, you're worried the billionaires are going to be able to eat? It's so childish. It's like, no. We're worried that they're going to leave New York City as they have for Palm Beach. And you know what's funny about that is the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, at one point was like telling people, pack your bags, get out of here. We don't want you if you don't want to be here. And now she's basing things off of, we can't lose any more people. We cannot lose any more billionaires to Palm Beach. So this is a real concern. And it's not because this guy, but this is how she wants to oversimplify it. So that it seems like this good versus bad when it's really not. She wants to make it seem as though David Faber or whatever his name is some sort of billionaire sycophant. Like he's twirling his mustache at CNBC. I'm looking out for my rich friends. I'm looking out for all the billionaires out there. They're the ones I really care about. He's he's financially literate. That's all this is. It's not like he has some big plan that him and Bezos are going to go up to space and laugh in all our faces. This is just a guy who understands how the economy works, and he's amazed that this woman is able to go on TV and spew this nonsense 90% of the time without any pushback. We'll be right back. We'll play more of these calls. I want to hear what you think about Elizabeth Warren endorsing Zohran Mamdani. How did she say it, Taylor? I don't think it was she said Zohran Mamdani.
Mamdami.
She says Mamdami.
Mamdami. Okay, well, whatever. You can tell how much she really has done her research here. We'll be right back. There's mamas and babies. There are mamas and babies coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, dear.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Why do you believe you should get your job back?
In 12 years, I've never had a single complaint. I've never been the subject of any disciplinary actions. All my employee evaluations are either outstanding or excellent. And I still love the job. I still want to be a trooper. And I'm fighting for it.
That's my favorite part. I still love the job. When you love what you do, and you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That was ex-state trooper Michael Proctor, and he currently is in court for a separate murder case, which we're going to talk to Mike Crawford about. But he's also appealing to have his job back, to be reinstated with the Mass State Troopers. And his reasoning is like two-pronged, according to his lawyers, which is they think that the state police lacked a legitimate reason to terminate him. And the second reason is that they think his punishment was disproportionate with previous situations that may have been similar. As far as lacking a reason to terminate him, I would say sharing things with people that are very sensitive to a case and that could jeopardize the case or you know, some of the evidence would be right there alone enough reason. But again, this is stuff we can talk to Mike Crawford about. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what are Michael Proctor's chances of getting reinstated with the Massachusetts State Police? 0, 50, or 100?
I'm going to say 0.
54% say 0%, 30% say 50, and 16% say it's a definite 100%.
Imagine him going back to work, though, Taylor. Like, what kind of reception do you get from the other troopers when you get there? Are they all like, yeah, he's back? Or are they like, oh, you really screwed us, man. Now we can't send texts to anybody. There's all these new rules in place. Everybody's mad at us. I don't know. I don't know what that situation would look like. Let's go to Brian from New York. You're up next. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, my question would be, I wonder how much more affordable everything would be if we weren't spending all the tax dollars and stuff on all taking care of one third of the population that doesn't go to work or has jumped our border to get here to our country. And maybe like housing could be affordable for the hardworking citizens that are already here. Maybe medical could be more a little bit more affordable for all the hardworking citizens that are already here, you know?
Yeah, but Brian, I've been told multiple times by really, really trustworthy sources like Hakeem Jeffries and other Democrats that that's not happening. That even though now they're complaining about millions of people being taken off Medicaid who are here illegally, it's also not happening at all. No illegals were on Medicaid. No illegals were on any of these programs. So that's just the information I have. I will tell you this, though, Brian. If you were asking Elizabeth Warren, I think her response would be, it's all about the billionaires, Brian.
Oh, dear.
It's all about the billionaires. Once we start having the billionaires pay their fair share, you are going to see a difference in affordability. We'll go back to this after the break. And we also have Joe Scarborough in the news. Don't go anywhere.
I get a little excited about this.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you for joining us. The number is 844-500-4242 if you want to join the show. You know, I saw something the other day on social media, and it was just a post about how hating billionaires is usually a pretty telltale sign that you don't have the highest IQ. And I'm not saying I have a high IQ. I actually don't even know what my height. I don't know what my IQ is. It's certainly not anywhere near Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, any of the Bidens. Okay, so I can say that. I can say that.
Definitely a low IQ person.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but there's something about your knee-jerk reaction being "I hate billionaires" that, first of all, to me reads as just jealousy. Which, like, I'm not saying they're great guys. Maybe some of them are, some of them aren't. It's like anything else. I'm sure there's good millionaires and bad millionaires. But this knee-jerk of, like, they're the evil boogeyman. They're the twirling mustaches. And women, by the way. There's a few women billionaires. But they're the ones that are causing all of our problems. It seems like such an oversimplification to me. It seems like such an easy way out for people who don't want to think critically about anything. And really, the reason I bring this up is because I never fully grasped just how much of a one-horse pony soldier Elizabeth Warren is until this interview, because it's all she can go back to. She has nothing else except for convincing these young people out there, convincing these radical Democrats that she's on their side because she hates billionaires. And they're the root cause of any problems they're having. Like, it's not the fact that we had an open border for 4 years. It's not the fact that interest rates, you know, she occasionally talks about interest rates, but that Jerome Powell won't lower the interest rates. She wanted him to do it before Trump was elected. And now that Trump's elected and Trump's putting pressure on Jerome Powell, she's totally changed her tune. Jerome Powell is godlike. He can't be touched. He can't be criticized. No one mess with him. And so this is a woman who's just full of hypocrisy. But her go-to is just to constantly convince people that anyone with means or wealth or businesses, those are the bad guys. And like I said in the opening, she's a lot closer to those lifestyles than she is to the people she's pandering to. She's a lot closer. She lives a swanky lifestyle, okay? She lives a ritzy life, just like Zohran Mamdani, or as she calls him, Zohran Mamdami. They're Mamdami. Very much the upper echelon of society, but they make their case to everyone by trying to pretend. It's like Marie Antoinette playing pauper for the day, by trying to pretend, oh, I'm in this fight with you, and I'm, if I were the king of the forest, I'm against these billionaires. And it's so funny. I can't believe anyone buys this. Give me a cut three, please, Taylor.
A lot of people are struggling to pay for housing. A lot of people are struggling to pay for groceries. And I got to tell you, mamas and daddies who are facing $25,000 a year to pay for child care.
Those are national issues. I mean, I know they are the local state, but you can't.
New York City.
Yes, but if you deal with them in that way, by what is always your backup, just tax them more, they will leave.
No, the backup is make this city and make this country work for everyone.
Yeah, but the only way that you can explain how you'd make it work for everyone is by taxing billionaires. That seems, it's a one-pronged approach. And that prong seems to be focused on taxing people out of the state. And I guess she doesn't really care, Taylor, because it's New York. So what does she care? I mean, they've done this in Massachusetts too. But if she's going to spew her nonsense, it's not even going to affect the state that she claims to represent. Then I don't really see a downside for her.
She was asked later in this interview, are you really on board with this? This 33-year-old socialist with zero experience in this? And she's like, yes, if he's successful, fine, great. So she doesn't have a problem with importing this kind of mentality and this kind of way of doing things into Massachusetts. So, I mean, there are countless reasons for people to vote her out once and for all the next time she's up. But this is just one more, and it's one of the heavier ones, too.
Yeah, and actually, let's skip to cut seven, because that's where she claims that, I think cut seven is the cut you're referring to, and then we'll play cut nine, but let's do seven.
And that's why today I will be here, to talk about his plans on child care, why people are talking about his plans. He's going to experiment to try to bring down grocery costs in food deserts. God bless him on that. He's going to try something. So when is the last time you saw America? I'm going to try something.
You think somebody who has absolutely no experience, 33-year-old socialist, is going to succeed as the mayor of New York?
Yes, I do.
With no real experience whatsoever in city government?
I think he's going to do a lot more for working families than someone like Cuomo, who says, how many billions of dollars can we get into my campaign so that I can try to beat this guy back? Look, this is democracy at work. People want to see someone who's on their side, and that is Zohran Mamdani.
Okay, again, learn his name. That's just basic. But also, I hate when politicians say, look, 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 because really what they're saying is it's a deflection. It's like, look, they're claiming, Biden used to do this all the time. When they say, look, that means I'm about to change the subject. I don't want to talk about this anymore. But yeah, a 33-year-old socialist with no real experience except for misreading a city webpage and assuming that there's all this money for city-run grocery stores, this is the guy that she has so much faith in. But it also doesn't even sound Taylor like she does. She goes, God bless him. God bless him if he wants to try it. It's like, these are kind of big things. You know, that's something my mom would say if I was like, oh, mom, when I was 10 years old, mom, I'm going to rearrange my room and I'm going to paint it all myself. God love you, kid. Go for it. You know, God love you.
This is arguably the second most influential and powerful office in the United States, dare I say the world. And we're just going to play around with it like, yeah, let's just try stuff. Let's just throw stuff at the wall.
She's acting like she's letting him off shelves
and not prosecute anybody. Yeah, it's fine.
She's acting as though she's letting him, you know, bake a cake for the first time, or, you know, like throw a party for a frat house. You know, give him a shot. What's the worst that could happen? What could go wrong? It's like the stakes are a little bit higher.
Shot at a beer pong game.
Come on. See what he can do. Give him a try. Let's see. It can't get worse. It's like, no, but it actually can. And just to really drill this home one more time, this city-run grocery store is trying things with groceries, as she keeps putting it. The Washington Examiner's Tim Carney explained, Zohran Mamdani says he can pay for them by cutting city subsidies to corporate grocery stores. This claim is based on a basic misunderstanding of the city's current grocery subsidies. Specifically, he wrongly believes that the city is spending $140 million to subsidize private grocery stores, and he thinks he can take half of that money and use it to build government grocery stores. So why does Mamdani use that $140 million number? He misread the city's webpage. That money was invested not by the city, but by corporate grocery stores. The really socialist way to read this is that Mamdani believes that money invested by private grocery stores is his to spend. The more likely explanation is that Mamdani misunderstands the government website and thus is planning to pay for his grocery stores with money that doesn't exist. But let's try things. Let's try things. Let's try using invisible money to pay for city-run grocery stores. Like, no one wants to try things anymore, Taylor. No one's innovative. No one wants to shake things up, but that's what Zohran wants to do. I do want to talk a little bit. Actually, you know, we'll go to some calls here, and then we'll get into Bondi ordering the DOJ to take evidence to the grand jury on the Russia collusion hoax. We got to do a trip down memory lane with Joe Scarborough for that one. But first, let's go to Tony. You're up next. Go ahead, Tony.
I just want to say that Warren says, uses the tag word billionaires, who doesn't hate a billionaire, according to her. But anyways, like in Massachusetts, they also instituted a millionaire's tax where if you sell, capital gains or maybe a house or whatever it is, I believe it's a 4% millionaire's tax on sales of things, or maybe it's income. Or whatever it is. So she uses billionaires to try to rally the troops. But at the end of the day, it's anybody making a decent living.
Exactly.
Democrats want to take all their money.
Yeah, no, exactly, Tony. And they move the goalposts. Like, if you hear millionaires tax, if you hear anything about millionaires, That's just code for you. If you're working and maybe you've saved, or maybe you have some private property that Zohran Mamdani can abolish or seize the means of production of your company. That's what it means. And a perfect example is Bernie Sanders. He spent his whole life talking about millionaires and billionaires. And then he became a millionaire, and suddenly he dropped the millionaires from his slogans, from his screeds, from his angry, grumpy man who can't find his slippers in the morning routine. And he just started referencing billionaires, because the millionaire thing didn't work anymore, because he was a millionaire. And he doesn't want to go after himself. He doesn't want to go after his wife, who's placing all these ad buys for him or whatever she does. They want to protect their three homes. So then that they bought with the profits from his books. Wink, wink. But that's how this all works. It's just hypocrisy at its highest level. I wanted to play a little bit here from David Spunt on Fox, breaking down this big move by Attorney General Pam Bondi. Can I get cut 10, please, Taylor?
Attorney General Pam Bondi today signed an order directing an unnamed U.S. federal prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 candidate Donald Trump to the country of Russia. Now, Fox News reviewed the one-page order just hours ago, signed by the Attorney General. A source familiar with the probe confirms this as well. While a DOJ spokesperson declined to comment on this report of an investigation, Fox is told Attorney General Bondi is taking the referrals from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, quote, very seriously. The spokesperson says that Bondi believes there is, quote, clear cause for deep concern, end quote, and a need for the next steps.
Now, this is the very, very beginning of this. This is very preliminary and could lead to indictments, but again, early stages. But that doesn't mean that Joe Scarborough isn't concerned, and he should be concerned, because a lot of the people that he has on his programs, a lot of the people that he respects for their honor and their integrity and their honesty are under fire here. They're under the hot seat, under scrutiny. And so this is Joe Scarborough's totally normal reaction. This is Cut 12.
This is extraordinarily stupid. It's extraordinarily stupid on so many counts. If you look at the timeline doesn't add up. It's like when Donald Trump is saying that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton created the Epstein files. No. That all happened during Donald Trump's first term. You look at the timeline here about what happened and when it happened. Barack Obama had nothing to do with this by anybody's accounts. And especially by the Senate Republican Intelligence Committee run by Marco Rubio, who afterwards said
no,
that it was Donald Trump's.
No, see, here we go. Here we go. This is the same conflation that Caitlin Collins threw out to Caroline Leavitt, where they go, Marco Rubio signed off on this thing that said Russia colluded too. Here's the difference that you all understand. Even someone as stupid and as obnoxious as Joe Scarborough, who spends his entire day calling everyone else stupid. Here's the difference. There's a difference between saying Russia meddled in an election and saying Russia colluded with Donald J. Trump and he was a Russian agent. He was an agent of Putin and therefore stole an election. And if you can't tell the difference between that, to use your own turn of phrase, Joe, stay away from the blenders. You know, you shouldn't be using appliances because you're extraordinarily stupid. This guy wants to tell you about the timeline. The timeline of this is an indictment on Barack Obama and just how much he knew. The timeline of this, and by the way, if you want to see the timeline of it, Tulsi Gabbard and Caroline Leavitt, every time they're out talking to people, they've got a big board behind them with the graphics so it can break down the timeline for someone as thick as Joe Scarborough. The timeline makes it very clear that Obama's fingerprints were all over this thing from the very beginning. And so were John Brennan's, as he was overruling people in the CIA and trying to convince them to include the Steele dossier and all of this garbage into the intelligence assessments, despite the fact that a lot of people in the rank and file didn't think it stood up, didn't think it should be included, but they did everything they could to overthrow Donald Trump. And Joe Scarborough knows it. And you know what else? In case you want to know the things that Joe Scarborough has told us before, we're so stupid. We're so stupid for caring about or stupid for believing. Let me have the Hunter Biden laptop story. This is Joe Scarborough talking about that. Cut 15.
It is so obviously disinformation that the person that writes the story won't put their name on it because they know it's a lie.
Yeah, this is Joe Scarborough. Just play through these, Taylor. Cut 16.
History will expose you all as fools and useful idiots for the Russians.
So then we were useful idiots for the Russians. Now that it turns out the whole thing was a corrupt coup performed and orchestrated and choreographed by Barack Obama and James Comey, now we're stupid for caring about it. And Pam Bondi's stupid for suggesting or demanding the DOJ take evidence to a grand jury on this. Now we're stupid for caring. So no matter what we do, according to Joe Scarborough, we're the stupid ones. But a guy who said this, cut 14, please.
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
Yeah, I'm not going to be lectured on being stupid or being out to lunch or not being able to use household appliances by someone who would say that. If your assessment of Joe Biden, if you're that big of a dolt that in March of 2024, you thought Joe Biden was the smartest man alive, and in fact, he zeroed in on Joe Scarborough. That's how much of an idiot he knows Joe Scarborough is. He zeroed in. He honeypotted. He honey-trapped Joe Scarborough so he would say nice things about him. And Joe Scarborough is so gullible and naive and insane that it actually worked. He actually did it. He went on TV and he said, the best Biden ever. So forgive me, Joe. I don't want lectures from you about how stupid I am. You lost that card a long time ago. You absolute moron. We'll be right back.
And F you if you can't handle the truth.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Even if you are going to try to poo-poo what's happening with the Russia hoax, which I know the same people who tried to poo-poo Joe Biden hiding in closets and shaking hands with dead people, obviously this is not beneath them. But is timeline really the way you want to go if you're Joe Scarborough? Greg Price wrote back in July, DNI Tulsi Gabbard just declassified a draft presidential daily brief from December 8th, 2016, in which Obama's intel community assessed that Russia did not impact the 2016 election. They had this thing ready to go, and then all of a sudden they start spinning their wheels. I'm like, well, we don't want to put this out because this might let the American people know that everything was above board, and we don't want that. Because we want to be able to give this thing legs for the next 8 years and try to tarnish this guy's reputation and try to hamstring him while he's in office. And so, no, we don't want to throw cold water on this thing and maybe give the American people some peace of mind. Let's add fuel to the fire. As that guy from the George Soros Foundation or whatever it's called, Open Waters Foundation, said in his email, that the FBI will add fuel to the fire or oil to the fire. And he was right on about that. I just got a great, great tweet from somebody who was listening to that Joe Scarborough cut. And they said, the infamous by anybody's account, Dems are full of these vague attributions. Experts say it's well known. It's been widely reported. That is such a fabulous point that drives me crazy. We actually talked about this yesterday in reference to Casey Hunt and her interview with Lee Zeldin, because what it does is it sets up this entire false premise where she goes, overwhelming consensus of scientists say that global warming is man-made, or whatever BS she was spewing. And it's like, talk about vague. Why don't you give us some citations here? Joe Scarborough says, by anybody's account, not by my account, not by Tulsi Gabbard's account, not by Caroline Leavitt's account. Do they account for anything? We'll be right back.